Welcome back to Sensing Spirit with Kristen and Kimmy. I'm Kristen.
Yay!
Yay!
I'm Kimmy.
Yes. And first of all, let me just say thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. We are, as always, honored to have you join us. So before we get into tonight's amazing topic, because I know that this is something that's on a lot of people's minds, because I get this question quite frequently, you know, what to do when you're an empath. But before we start talking about that, we want to know, what is in your cup? What are you drinking tonight? So let us know in the comments. Kimmy, what do you have in your cup?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because we got the Brady Bunch thing going on. So I'm gonna look down at you.
I'm sorry. So, okay, hang on. I feel like this needs some explanation. So I usually have two monitors. And as everybody knows right now, I just learned earlier today, Mercury is in retrograde. I learned this like 15 minutes ago. My monitor broke.
Retrograde.
My first monitor broke. So we're dealing, I'm doing this with one monitor right now. I'm doing the best that I can. I apologize for the different layout here where Kimmy's on top of me. We're normally side by side, but we're going to get through it.
Being on top of you, it's all good. Anyway, so what's in my cup? Because I'm having a really bad day and I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of stuff going on and I am blaming Mercury retrograde. Okay. But I'm dizzy. Things were like crashing left and right. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong. So today I'm hydrating. I am so hydrating because I'm dizzy. My brain is swirling. So I'm going to keep it simple and I'm drinking my water. So that's what's in my cup. Hi, John. Hi, Tammy. Hi, Pearl.
Yes. Hi. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us. That's awesome, though. I appreciate that. Sometimes you just need to hydrate. And I feel like that's going to tie into our episode in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You have no idea. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, I'm watching, too.
Yes, you are.
Can you please make sure that you share this video out? Because I know there's a lot of empaths out there.
Yes. Hi, Diane.
Hey. Kristen, what are you drinking?
I took some inspiration from Carol a couple weeks ago. My mama, I love her. And I've got watermelon lime seltzer in our cup.
Yay. Yes.
So just in case you guys didn't know, we do have these. I'm sorry that it's backwards, but we do have these available in our merch store. So check out our link tree in our bio. So let us know what you have in your cups in the comments.
Yes.
And we'll come back to them.
Hopefully you're drinking something a little more exciting than what I'm drinking, which again is water because Mercury retrograde sucks. Let's just say that. And if you're an empath like me, you are probably taking in everybody else's energy right now, including your own. So Pearl's drinking boring water. There's nothing boring about hydrating.
Yeah, no, nothing boring. The body needs water.
No, I lie. It's boring. I lie.
It's not
but
boring.
But you do need it.
Nice. Diane, too. She's drinking ice water. So that's awesome. I love that. I've been drinking water all day. This is the first bit of non-water that I've had. I saw that too. It actually went across both of our screens, interestingly enough.
Did it?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay, I'm reaching out to you guys out there, our co-hosts. Did you guys just see, was it an orb? I don't know. I just looked over a corner of my eye and I saw something.
I saw something go from here down, like where my microphone is, up and across and up over your screen. It kind of like went in line. Sorry, I bumped the microphone. And Tammy's
That's
got ice
crazy.
Water also because it's 97 degrees today. Yes, it is freaking hot. It's hot outside. Welcome to May.
Yay, water. I feel like we should get like some type of sponsorship right now.
Yeah.
Will I get in trouble for showing that? I don't know.
I don't think
but anyway. Okay, let's get onto the topic.
Yes.
But it has been a crazy day. And I do feel like it kind of fits in with what we're talking about today, which is being an empath. And
Jose Joe said it was a unicorn. Kidding though. I don't know what it was.
I'm not messing with that.
Maybe. Maybe we'll figure it out.
Look, I just stubbed my toe. The hell? I don't know. Today is crazy. It's insane. I'm an empath. How many of you out there are empaths? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Phrase two, if you're having a crazy day. Let us know if you're an empath and what kind of day you're having, because I know Mercury retrograde is until, I don't know, the first week or second week in June or something like that. So if you're having, Carol, if you're having any like tech issues or just weird things happening, it's probably that. Yeah. That's what I'm blaming it on. So again, let us know if you're an empath. Share this out, because I know there are many empaths out there. I was hoping to see my cousin, one of my cousins, because I know they're both empaths and I know they can use some of this. But where should we start?
So what Maybe we I should think we st- should start with what is an empath specifically.
That's where I was going.
Yep.
So should I take this?
Yes.
Should please. I take this? Okay. All right. So empaths are basically emotional sponges. And we tend to absorb not only the energy of other people, but we can absorb energy of the environment around us, locations. We can feel other people's anxiety, stress, and ailments. Even their joy. I'm okay with that. I love being around like happy people because I tend to absorb it, and that's all good for me. But when I'm around somebody who has a lot of anxiety or stress, and I'm not talking about like the natural type of stress, but I'm talking about somebody that always constantly has something, I can get drained when I'm around them. So basically empaths, we're just emotional sponges, mm-hmm. short and sweet. That's exactly what we are.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Joe.
We got Joe and then Jose Joe. So yes. We'll just make sure that I don't mix that up again.
Yeah. It is, yes. Tammy says that it's very hard to have this when you're a manager. So, I mean, it's difficult to just plain flat out be around other people when this is something that affects you, when you, it's not necessarily that you just feel other people's emotions, because I feel like that's empathy. You know, when mm-hmm. you're picking up on how someone else is feeling, that's just empathy, which isn't a bad thing. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing to have, but there comes a little bit of an extra burden. Yeah. Joe knows yes. about what it's like when you're a manager and you're an empath, but when you're an empath, I do think that everyone has empathic abilities, but when you're an empath, there's something that's super extra special about the way that you operate, because you take on other people's issues as if they're your own, other people's emotions, what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So if they're feeling angry, you are feeling angry. If they're feeling sad and crying, you are feeling sad and crying. And there's a very distinct kind of separation between someone who is empathic and someone who is an empath. Like mm-hmm. not to get caught up in the terminology here, but I just want to make that distinct differentiation between the two.
I'm glad you said that, because I would hope most of us share a degree of like empathy for people. You know, we don't want anyone to feel bad. We don't want anyone to be in pain or sad or anything like that. So I would hope that majority of people have empathy, but to be an empath is so totally different. We take on things as if they were ours, and they're not. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, especially if you're not aware that you're an empath, you may not know the difference between what's yours and what's not. In fact, you might be someone who has so much anxiety, and you go to a doctor, you're probably on prescription or something like that. I'm just talking about myself. And then turns out you're an empath. And, you know, most of the stuff that you think you're feeling may not actually belong to you. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that today...
I'm sorry, just as a quick disclaimer, though, that if you are experiencing mm-hmm. issues, you know, go see a doctor. That should Absolutely. Be your very first thing that you do, is to go see a doctor, rule out any medical possibilities of why you're feeling the way that you're feeling, whether you might be depressed or you're feeling a little bit manic. I mean, I have all of those symptoms, too, not as an mm-hmm. empath, like just as me. you know, me existing.
So do I.
So yeah.
Absolutely. So do I. In fact, because today was such a crazy day and I broke out in hives, I had to take medicine before the show just to kind of calm my ass down. So I definitely believe in medicine. You know, if you need it, please go to your doctor and find out, you know, if there's anything that can be done. But this is separate because I know I have my own issues. I have issues, but I have my empathic issues as well.
Right.
And in fact, I wanted to say, believe it or not, because it seems like almost everybody in the spiritual community is an empath. Like you see, like, right, you're reaching out to these people, you're hanging out with these people, and it seems like, oh, I'm an empath. Well, 20% of the population actually are empaths. So it makes sense. So a lot of you will probably relate, you know, to a lot of the things that we're going to talk about. But I want to talk about the different types of empaths before we kind of break it down into signs that you might be an empath. Mm-hmm. So we have emotional empaths, and I'm probably all of the above. So just to put that out there, we have physical and mental, medical empaths. We have the intuitive empath, geomantic empath. We have the plant empath. We have the earth empath. We have the animal empath.
I'm already overwhelmed.
And honestly, I think I am, which is probably why I was diagnosed with hyperventilation syndrome.
Oh my goodness.
But
you have it managed, right? Like with medical care?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you probably heard me say on the show before that how you can tell or how you can make something stop is if you call it out. So if you're in the grocery store and you have a pain or something like that, and you know that it's not yours and you kind of find the source of it and you say it to yourself, this is not mine. I think it belongs to whoever. You'll notice it goes away. And so that's definitely something to keep in mind, but we will get into that. So I just wanted to let you know that there are different types of empaths. So
yes.
You have those who can really feel what an animal is going through. And I'm not talking about pet communicators or animal communicators, but I'm talking about really feeling. And most pet communicators probably are empaths, but you know what, you know, an animal is going through. You might even feel their pain. Physical, medical, I am. So I will feel somebody's pain when I'm doing healings. I will feel in my own body what's going on with somebody. If they're feeling dizzy when I'm doing healings, I will feel dizzy and off balance. So I know exactly what's going on with people. Emotional. I know when someone, even if they look straight face, I know when someone is going through something and I can just feel it in my heart and in my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the emotional one is probably, I would say emotional and physical are probably the big ones. For a lot of people. But I was surprised. I never really thought about it. Just thought about, like, you know, being a shamanic practitioner, but like even feeling when the earth, something is off with the earth. Like, yeah. I don't know,
like
about
being geosentient.
Absolutely. And I have to say that even though the world was going through this whole pandemic, there was a part of me that felt a healing, because when we all first had that lockdown and you saw animals coming out and animals that were becoming extinct were now repopulating, and just things were just feeling like they were healing in the earth. And that to me made me feel good, even though like I was scared out of my mind with the pandemic, but there's these type of things.
Yeah.
So
I just want to say hi, Beverly. It's awesome to have Beverly join us. But Diane, she says that she used a lot of essential oil infused sea salt that she uses on her shoulders to release the burdens of others off her shoulders into the earth, quite often to release the stress. And salt is a fantastic way to cleanse and ground, because it literally is of the earth. So
they are adorable.
I know.
Well, their messages.
Yeah. Beverly and Joe know each other.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So those are the types of impacts. Now, let's get into the signs that you may be an empath, because there are a lot of signs, but we're just going to kind of narrow it down to 15.
There are a lot. But just one final disclaimer that if you're experiencing any of the following and you are not sure why, please go seek out medical attention before pursuing a spiritual path that might wreak havoc on your mental health or your emotional well-being. So, oh my goodness, yes, Beverly, trees with fire ants. I love you. I love you so much.
Okay, like I said before, I don't hug trees, but I will talk to them, and they do talk back.
Beverly and I had a conversation with a tree, and it sent an army of fire ants out to us. It was an interesting experience. So,
did you piss it off?
I don't think we pissed off the tree. I think we disturbed the fire ants' habitat.
Oh. See, not everything is paranormal.
Yep.
I tend to like just touch the tree. Just touch. I'm not a hugger. But anyway, yes. We'll get into that. Hugging trees, nature, essential oils, really great, and salt. Okay. So we're going to go into some of the top signs that you may be an empath. Mm-hmm. Let us know if this resonates with any of you, and put it down in the comments. All right. You ready?
Yes.
Let me know, Kristen, if any of these. Okay. Number one, and I had to write them down because there were a lot. If you're an introvert or you're shy, or you feel like you need to have a lot of alone time. I mean, not just the regular old me time, but I mean, like, you really need to like unwind and have that alone time in order to kind of regroup.
That's me for
hands
sure.
up.
Yep.
Where's,
hey, Angela.
Where's my...
that's me for sure. I need my alone time to recharge, regroup. I love my husband. I love him dearly, so, so much. But there are just some times where I have to shut myself down and shut myself out from everybody else. That usually happens on Sundays, where I'm in my own bubble.
See, this used to be a cause of arguments for me because I didn't understand it. So I was always told that I shut myself off, that I'm always shutting myself in the bedroom or something like that. And to me, it just felt needed. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can blame it on junk TV or watching soaps years ago, back when there was a soap net. But like, there was something about being alone, especially after work. I just needed to.
Yeah,
it really is important. It really is important. But I mean, like, really, like, I don't know. It's just like you really just decompress. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, you're overly sensitive to chaos. And I'm talking about things on TV, like, unfortunately, shootings and stuff like that, wars, even movies, even though you know they're actors, but movies. And then obviously real life.
That was my cat. I'm sorry. My cat is meowing at the door.
What the fuck?
So as far as that was really loud. I know it was. I'm sorry.
That sounded human.
I know. She does sound human. I'm pretty sure she's a human reincarnated. But she has the best life ever. So but as far as like I chaos, reacting to chaos, movies, I can't honestly say that that's something that I experienced.
That's me. That's definitely me. I mean, I know they're actors, but if I see somebody get killed in a movie or something like that, and they know it's coming, instead of my dumbass saying, oh, they're actors, they're really alive, and my brain starts saying, I wonder what he thought before it happened to him. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why I do it. I just do. And then obviously anything on the news, it just hurts my heart. It hurts everyone's heart when, you know, there's senseless killings, but it's so much more than that. It's feeling so sad for the people who passed, their families, but also taking it a step further and saying, what could we have done for the person who did the killings? You know, like what happened to them that caused them to do these type of things with?
Oh, that's interesting.
And especially a younger person, for me, I start thinking, God, like I know it's, I shouldn't feel this way, but I feel bad for them because their whole life is ruined because they made this horrible, horrible mistake. But did they make that mistake because they were led astray? Mm-hmm. And they're, you know what I mean? I start thinking all these things and then I just get sad and I feel bad for everything and everyone. And then I just start, why does the world have to have hatred? And if they do, why can't they just say, okay, we have difference of opinions and keep it moving? You know what I mean? Like I start, like my brain starts doing all these things. Mm-hmm. And Joe says
that chaos is his job. And Tammy also cries a lot watching drama movies and sad news. Those are a huge trigger for her. And Pearl also says that she cries. So, but Beverly has a point though, because you guys are how crisis is brought down a notch so that they can deal, which is absolutely true. So Joe comes from the same background that Mark and I have, that we're in like first responder territory.
Absolutely.
Which is why I feel like that's the reason why I don't necessarily respond to crisis situations the same way that you do, because I've had like years and years of experience.
And you have to keep your cool under these types of situations. So right. That totally makes sense to me. And I know, again, I'm looking this way at her, but she's actually down there on your screen. So I know we're looking crazy, but it's Mercury retrograde. Deal with it.
Yeah, it is what it is. We're good.
But so that totally makes sense to me. And years ago, I used to be able to watch surgery shows. I could see people getting cut open, blood squirt, no problems. Now I'm like, I'm soaps and shows like that. Oh my God. And they're just actors. And I used to make fun of my mom. She would sit there and watch the soaps. Yes, I'm telling on her. And I would just turn around and her face would just scrunch up and she'd have this ugly cry. And I'm like, God, you know, they're just acting. Like, what the hell? Now that's me. That's me. So overly sensitive.
Okay.
And I'm like, nope, I'm not crying.
I'm not crying. Anyway, you're crying.
Moving on. One of these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like being in crowds. I hate being in crowds.
I
have social anxiety so bad that even like knowing that I'm going to the mall because I have to pick something up at the store, I get anxiety. I used to, that. Thankfully I don't get sick anymore, but I used to get like sick every single time that I had to go to the mall or go to the store. And I didn't understand why. I just thought I had IBS. Oh. Which is a real thing, people. So if you're supposed to see a doctor, but I found out that I was picking up on the collective energy of all the people that were there.
Yeah.
And I was picking up energy on specific people that had issues going on. And the location. So if you don't like being in crowds, it could be because you're picking up on the location, you're picking up on all of the people all together at once, or individuals there that are going through something.
Yeah.
So that's a big one. That's probably the number one. I think that's the number one sign, because when you finally get to these places, do you ever realize how drained you are? It almost feels like you've been there like all day working, and you probably just walked around, went to a couple of stores or something like that, got food or whatever. And it's like, I can't deal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes, Tammy. I order so much stuff online. Amazon is my friend. I swear I get packages, if not every day, every other day.
Yep.
The pandemic actually... I was able to get more things online, but I was doing it already. So I was like, oh, psh, whatever, I'm good. I had these on speed dial.
If anything, I was pissed off. I was pissed off that I didn't get to lock down with everybody else, but it's whatevs. Because I wanted to be alone. No, it's fine. Like, I wanted to be alone. I wanted to shut my windows and my doors and shoo everyone away. Get away from me. You know, not have to go out to the grocery store, not have to go shopping, not have to go out to barbecues. People having parties and shit all the time. I know, I'm sure that this is something that's going to probably come around in your list of things that you have there. But for me, like going to events that include other people that I'm supposed to be social with is a big problem for me. It's so draining. So draining.
No, that's definitely part. I would say that's definitely part of that one. Mm. Absolutely. And it could be the reason why you're an introvert. I am definitely an introvert. Right. I'm shy until I get to know somebody. Then I'm just absolutely insane. Mm. But before you get to know me, I'm definitely shy and quiet.
But that's something to consider too. Like, are these mm-hmm. just personality traits of an introvert as opposed to someone who is an empath? Oh, I know, Beverly. Yes, cakes were so hard. Sorry. And Tammy says that all her customers are hairstylists and they're very emotional people. I mean, I imagine putting your hands on people and that's getting within their auric space. You know, you're getting into their energy.
I feel like hairstylists should be kind of part of the healing profession. I know that sounds weird, but they're almost like a mini therapist.
Yes.
They talk about any and everything.
Yes.
And like you said, you're touching somebody. You're in their auric field. If you're sensitive, you are feeling everything all up in that aura. So yes, absolutely. What was I going to say?
So Jose Joe says that he lives surrounded by state forest and he thinks that he's seen one person in person in the last 2 weeks and he's fine with that. You know what? I would be fine with that too. This is why like psychic fairs are difficult for me, like emotionally, energetically, because you've got all these people coming through this building. Mm-hmm. Like constant revolving door. And then your seat is a constant revolving door. Not that I don't love every second of it, because I appreciate every second that I get to spend with someone.
You know, I'm doing my first one.
Yes, you are.
I'm doing my first psychic fair this year. And you're just like, you're scaring me.
It's energetically difficult to do that.
But it's not like I'm not aware that I'm around so many people. Even when I was a customer or client, whatever you want to call it, at these psychic fairs, being that I was sensitive, I was already feeling all the energy in there. So it's something that I'm used to, unfortunately. But you said something, you know, some of these things that we're talking about could be because you're just an introvert, but here's how you may know that you are an empath. It's not just having these things separately. It's having majority of these things. So it's not just, okay, I have one of these signs, I'm an empath. No, having majority of these, if not all of them, pretty much a safe bet that you're an empath. So let's move on. Okay. So you probably have heard us talk about this on the show. If you are an empath, your primary or secondary, or some people have two primaries, I do, will be clairsentient. So if you know what clairsentience is, it's clear feeling. So you can sense and feel, it makes sense, right? You can sense and feel things from people, places, and things. So your main, you know, psychic ability would be clairsentience. So that's another sign that you're probably an empath.
Mm-hmm. To answer your question, Joe, Joe asks, am I an empath or an idiot? And you are not.
We're going to need a little more context.
I mean, I know exactly what context he's asking this question in. You are not an idiot, Joe.
Why? Well, no, if you're not, that's a given that you're not an idiot. But why do you ask that?
I think that for him, and I don't want to speak for him, but Joe, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think that has to do with the way that Joe takes on his employees' feelings, how they feel about things.
No. No. Okay. Personally, I know a lot of people say that they wish they weren't an empath and that they hate being an empath and they wish that they can give this ability. I think once you figure out how to use it, it's one of the best abilities, I personally feel. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that. And Joe, No, I think being an empath and being in touch with your employees is great. As a manager, and you know, I'm a manager, I use my being an empath to my advantage because I'm able to see and feel how other people are motivated. And, you know, not everybody learns the same way. Not everybody, you know, has the same motivation. So I use being an empath to help me to figure out how am I going to motivate this person? This person is really shy. So let me see how I can get them to do a little more or come out their shell a little bit more. And I use my empathy, empathic abilities in order to kind of tap in, but also
kind of if someone's having level.
Yeah. And if someone's having a bad day without saying it, I can feel not to invade their space, but I can tap in a little bit just to kind of understand what's going on enough to be able to give that person some space or some leeway or to let them know, hey, you can come and talk to me. You know what I mean? So that way, okay, maybe they're not going to be on their, you know, they're not going to be so productive today because something's going on. So I use that to your ability.
But how do you know that you're actually being empathic as opposed to being observational?
You know, well, there's a difference. Can you feel something? Great question, by the way. Can you feel something without them giving any signs? No visual signs on their face, them saying anything. Are you picking up on stuff that is not obvious?
Mm-hmm.
So again, just like psychic, you know, it is a psychic ability, you know, feeling, sensing, you know, hearing, you know, getting visions of stuff that is not known. Because if it's known, then you're obviously not using your abilities. But anyway, being an empath, I think you can definitely use that to your advantage as a manager.
Diane says that she uses empathic and intuition all the time when dealing with people that she doesn't know. And I think absolutely, that's a great way to start. But I still have trouble, even with myself, you know, dealing with me, recognizing whether or not I'm being empathic or if I'm observing and making judgments because I'm observing. And because there are such subtle differences, like say you're a manager and you have an employee who's coming in and they're having a bad day. Mm-hmm. One of the first things you might notice is that the way that they say hello or good morning has changed.
Because absolutely.
I love my husband, but he has this tell about him that if he's doing this number, like his lips are pursed together and he's giving you one word answers, clearly he's having a bad day. And I think that's probably true for a lot of people too, and not to call him out, but that's true for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So if you're an empath and you're experiencing that, you see that, you're going to be like, oh shit, today is a bad day.
No, you can't claim that. You can't claim that. You cannot claim that one. No, this is something that you're actually using your abilities. If they're showing you by, you know, facial expressions,
like how do you know? How do you know that you're using abilities? And that's such a difficult question to answer.
It is. It really is. Because all I can say is when you know you've been using your psychic abilities, you know the difference. This information is not coming because you know this person so much and you just know their mannerisms. This is coming from almost like an external, you know what I mean? You get a vision or something like that, or you just get a knowing that something is wrong. And it's not written on the person's face. It's not, you know, slamming stuff or you just know. Have you ever had a situation where you were engaging with somebody and they were being charming, they were smiling, everything was great, and you just sit there and say, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, nothing, what are you talking about? And you're like,
that right there, see that right there, wrong. Just that right there, somebody going, nothing,
there's something wrong,
nothing, there's nothing wrong, that and tells me something's wrong.
And you're wrong, what are you talking about? I'm fine, I'm laughing, something is wrong because I can feel it in every part of my body. My aura is okay. Tapped into your aura and I can feel it.
Okay. So hold on. Hold that thought right there.
Feel it in my body.
Hang on. Hold that thought right there. Because say you are already tapped into someone and you're feeling what they're feeling. They don't even recognize it. At what point is it okay for you to push them to reveal something that is going on? Because there are a lot of people that feel the need to kind of insert themselves into that situation and try to fix it. And listen to me very carefully, fixers. It is not your job to fix other people's problems. I hope you heard that.
See how this all goes around. This is going to get into another another one of our signs that you're an empath. But no, you should never force somebody to spill their guts. If they say, you know, nothing's wrong with me, you say, I know something's wrong with you. You know, if you want to talk, I'm here. If you don't want to talk, that's fine. Leave it at that. Please do not push yourself, your abilities or anything on people. Don't try to use your abilities to tap in and figure it out. Leave it alone. But that's kind of like what I do. I'm like, I don't know why. No, I just know that something's wrong. You're not giving me any sense that anything's wrong because we're having a good conversation. I just can feel it. And people have said, what are you talking about? And, you know, if they want to open up, they will open up. And if not, keep it moving. So
yes.
If you know what, I feel like I should jump around and go.
Yes. Not my monkey, not my circus. That's exactly it. Y'all, I know that as empaths, like we take on other people's emotions and we feel stuff that other people wouldn't understand. So this, I'm giving you some advice here for me personally, how I deal with being an empath, that if you're picking up on something and you invite someone to open up about it and they choose not to, you have to be willing to let that lie there. You have to be willing to let it be. Let it be, because clearly they do not want to talk about it. You do not need to have closure. They are the ones that need to figure their shit out. It's not up to you, right? So you have to be willing to let that lie there if they don't want to talk about it, if they don't want to let that out. I know, the monkey in the circus thing. You have to be willing to let it sit there and not have any closure.
I think we just tied up a bunch of them all in this one little nugget here, but because they are intertwined, they really are. Yeah. So the next one was going to be, you have a deep sense of knowing and can sense the thought of others. So that's kind of ties it in. You can kind of tell when someone, they have something heavy on their mind or there's a decision that's going on or whatever. And if you are intuitive, and I'm going to guess that most of you are because you're watching our show and you know this is a great show, so you're intuitive. then you can kind of just, your gut tells you something. You know, your gut tells you don't go down the street, you know, like that type of thing. You just know that you shouldn't do something. And if you're like me, you do it anyway and you're like, damn it. So your gut tells you that something is off with this person, you know? And so that's a way.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I ever want to do too, Tammy, is just help someone who's struggling. And if you, so whenever you get that feeling, like this is something that I know that this person is struggling because I can feel it. Then it becomes your responsibility to reach back out to wherever you're getting that information from and ask, is it really my place to intervene or is my ego trying to take the stage? Because there is a big, big difference between knowing when you were supposed to intervene spiritually from source, whatever, and hearing that message versus would it make me feel better as a person, as a human being, as an employer or a boss or a fellow employee, a coworker, would it make me feel better to try to intervene in what this person is going through? It's very important that you know the difference and that you're able to differentiate between the two. Because if you just go and insert yourself into people's lives, you're going to be that nosy Nelly that everybody knows. Oh, don't say nothing to her. Don't say nothing to him. Because she's just going to try to fix everything.
nosy, or my favorite, judgmental.
Yes.
Because you're trying to help somebody, so you want to solve it. So you're giving all these solutions, and you somehow end up being judgmental, even though you had, you know, the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. Having a deep sense of somebody else's thoughts, also being an effective listener.
Yes.
So now sometimes this gets me in trouble because someone is telling me a story and I am such a great listener that my psychic abilities start actually seeing what they're talking about. So I'm seeing images of where they were, what happened to them. And I am so into the story. I'm watching a movie right now. Like, I am all in it. But that's why a lot of people tend to come to me and just have like this word vomit of venting. And I'm like,
but you know what's great about venting? What's freaking fantastic about venting is that you don't need to do shit with that. You can just leave that right where it is and not have to do anything about it.
Oh, no, but I'm an empath, so I want to help. Where's my cape? Like, that's what it is.
I know.
And I have to say, sit your ass down, Kim. Let it be. I can't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, I want to help them. Let me fix this for them. And I'm just like, oh, that sucks. Like, you just have to like just walk away. Now, if they ask you for advice or something like that, then you can be like, yes. Mm-hmm. But let it be. Sometimes people just want to talk and release, but that's also going to get you in trouble too. We carry on.
And Tammy, yes, set boundaries, Tammy. Set boundaries.
Damn it, Tammy, have you seen my list? No, please jump in. Let us know like what works for you and what you've heard for sure, because I'm sure all of us. And again, share this out because I know there are a lot of empaths out there. Okay, so you tend to draw people in, including strangers. Have you ever been at like a grocery store or some type of store and you're waiting in a long line and all of a sudden like the stranger starts talking to you and you know way too much of their business? I mean, you may not know everything, but you start hearing things about them didn't really care about. You know, but you know, you're having a good conversation, but you just have this light about you that people are drawn. They know that they can talk to you. And I've been in situations where strangers will tell me like things that they're hurting or situations, issues, problems that they're having. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, but you just have that energy and people just have to vent to you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's great. Yes, it's a great thing that people feel like they can trust you, even if you're a stranger. So that's wonderful. But again, you don't have to take the person home with you. Just, you know, hear them out.
Yep. You do not need empathize to give them a place with them. To live. You don't need to try don't and solve give them their your money phone problems. Number. You don't need to do
don't
anything.
Don't give them a phone number.
You don't need to do anything for them. Not a single thing. If you have a stranger coming up to you, just vomiting out their problems, that's their problem, not yours. So again, don't let your ego get involved in this. Know when your ego is speaking up and saying, I can fix this. I can fix this. Yes. Stranger danger. Yes.
See, the pandemic has helped with that. Cause I'm like, you're too close. Six feet. Yep. But that's good too. You know, people feel like they can trust you, but also like Tammy said, boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to give boundaries without being a jerk in, you know, in public with a stranger, but just keep it short. Don't give them any of your information because the conversation just keeps going on and on. We can do like this badminton back and forth with, mm-hmm. Oh no, my life is worse than yours.
Well, here's the cool thing about being an empath. Well, cool, maybe not cool thing, maybe the worst thing ever is that there are people out there who recognize when you're an empath and when you're willing to give of your own energy, try and help them resolve an issue, and they latch on and they leech from you. So it is fantastic to have boundaries, to know where your boundaries are, and to know when you should not insert any of your own personal energy, opinions, any of the above into the situation. So boundaries are a must. You need to have boundaries. Number one rule of being an empath, have boundaries, healthy boundaries.
Absolutely. I can't believe we only have like 15 minutes left. Like, I'm going to have to do this really quick because there's so much. I mean, we can do like a whole like...
Pick your favorite one. Pick your favorite one.
All right. You know what? Hold on. Okay. So another, let me do this real quick. How about this?
Sure.
I'm going to do it really quick. Put down in the comments if any of this, you know, makes sense to you. Like I said already, you're prone to illness. No, actually I didn't say this. Are you prone to like illnesses, like constant fatigue and like physical pain? For me, since 2007, for some reason, I have been like sick. There's been like vertigo that I had for like 11 years. No one can figure out what it was. Pains, nausea, dizziness, all this stuff. And then I found out I was an empath and I'm like, holy. Now I still have my issues, but I'm able to separate between what's mine and what's not. So if you can't figure out, now there, again, there can be many reasons for why you might have, you know, you're prone to illness or fatigue or something. It could also be if you have paranormal activity in your house, it could be that as well, or it could just be an actual illness. So please, again, disclaimer, this is only for entertainment. Anyway, you're frequently overwhelmed or anxious, and you hate loud sounds. Now, Kristen will tell you that I did give a loud sound before the show, but I was scared the fuck out before the show started by my dog. But like, just
that was great. I should have been recording. It was fantastic.
No, you shouldn't have. So loud sounds and being easily startled. My dog scared the shit out of me so bad that like I still have chest pains right now from it. I am overly stimulated by noises. Like they just, they irk me.
Hey Joe, how's about that mouth chewing sound?
Wait. Okay. So that's me and Brandon. We will stare your ass down if you are a open mouth chewer. I will stare you down until you realize I'm looking at you. Like you want to, we always say this, if you want any type of Oscar or Emmy as an actor, eat food on camera with your mouth wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. And odors. I have the most sensitive nose. Like I love things that smell good, but I can smell a skunk 2 blocks around the corner, all the way down the street and into a different town. I can smell it and it drives me insane before anyone else can smell it. And how many people out there have anxiety when you're talking to somebody who does not shut the fuck up? I hate it because like I want to listen to them and I want to be there. But when they're like, and I'm like, okay, I'll just wait until the next breath. Okay. And then all of a sudden my anxiety level starts. I can't help it, but like, it's this thing that I can't control. Like I start having anxiety and I almost feel like I'm outside of myself. Does anyone else have that issue? Like
sometimes.
Okay, I can't say this just in case the person ever sees one of our shows, but we'll just say this. I had a class where I was learning a modality, and the teacher, for some reason, went down this rabbit hole and she started talking so much. And I actually had to do, if anyone has anxiety, you know that you have like these pressure points, and I'm holding my finger and I'm like, I'm like, I'm having a panic attack. And it's just because something in me. Anyway. Okay. You can tell when someone is telling the truth and when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't know these people, if you know them, then you know when someone, you know, they give signs or something like that. But, you know, something like that. Again, you can walk into the room and you can almost sense like the energy. You know that somebody had an argument in this room or something happened. Even if there's absolutely no sign whatsoever that it happened. wait, Tammy, what are you talking about as far as like having anxiety?
Saying yes to all the above.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. Here's one. You tend to carry the burdens of others. So again, you want to fix it. What you are doing is, instead of them just venting to you because you're a good friend or a good listener, you're now taking on their burdens by wanting to rush out and put an S on your chest. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's not for us. And that saying, like, teach a person how to fish. Instead of like giving them stuff, I had to learn that the hard way, because maybe I came off judgmental, or I always wanted to help people. And I'm like, you know what? I had to learn how to get to this point, because that was part of my journey, and me helping them is actually taking them away from their journey. Mm-hmm. You probably didn't think about that, but mm-hmm. in order for them to grow and to be where they need to be, they actually have to do it. They have to go through it. And when we rush in and want to help them, we actually are doing them a disservice. Mm-hmm. And it is an ego, because we want so badly to help. And it may be the right type of ego. You want to do it for the right reasons, but their growth is stagnant now because you ran and gave them the answer. There's Google. What the hell? Figure it out on your own. But anyway,
that's so funny.
That's
so
what I did.
One of my boundaries specifically is, if somebody brings me their problems and lays them at my doorstep and expects me to do something with it, one of my boundaries is that I go, oh, hell no, I'm kicking you out the boat. Learn how to swim. Not that I don't want to help people, because I do. But if you're coming to me and just laying all your shit all over me, like, this is my responsibility now because you feel this way. Yeah, maybe we do need a part two, Tammy. But if you're laying this on me,
like, side note,
like, it's my responsibility, because it is not, then I'm going to kick you straight out the boat and wish you well, because that's my boundary. That's what I have decided. But that's what's best for me. It may not be best for everybody. If you're not willing to learn and figure out how to do it on your own, then you're getting kicked out the boat. If you're wanting to learn now, and figure it out on your own, then I'll keep you in the boat. I'll keep you around for a little while.
Come to me once. Like, I want to help you. But you'll notice that as an empath, because you always want to help people, then people start taking advantage of you. Then they're like, oh, well, she knows how to do it. She can do it quicker. Let me go to her. And then they will always come to you before they even attempt to get the answer or figure things out on their own. So don't be a sucker for that. That's where the boundaries definitely come in. Okay. So find that you're an empath. You're a natural healer. Mm-hmm. Or a helper, like you said, natural healer or helper. You might be involved in the healing or holistic health or wellness, or you might be a hairdresser. You might be, whether it's a professional or you do it as a volunteer or whatever, you just seem to be naturally helping people all the time. Or they should be grounding themselves. Empaths should definitely be grounding themselves. Let me get to the last one. We're actually at the last one. Do you get goosebumps or body tingles when hearing certain sounds or looking at certain images? I do. I know that sounds weird. And if you don't get it, don't worry about it. Doesn't mean you're not an empath. But do you get tingles around the crown, the top of your head?
I do when I'm watching now, ASMR videos.
So look, it could be because you're sensing energy of a place or spirit. Mm-hmm. And I believe, Kristen, you said that people ask you this question all the time.
Yeah.
So what's that question?
I don't remember. Can you remind me? I know that I read it, but we've been talking so much. Oh, I got it. I remember. Okay. So, sorry, can being an empath lead into becoming a psychic medium? That is...
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Pop it.
I'm popping.
Okay. There you go. Damn.
Okay, I'm popping.
Yes.
Yes.
Being an empath can lead to sensing spirit... because you not only can sense the energy around you and the people around you, you can also sense when something else comes into that energy, which is why you might feel tingles around your head or get goosebumps out of like no apparent reason or anything like that. Or even if somebody told you a story, like, ooh, and you just get these goosebumps because like you are sensing everything. But yes, empaths are natural healers. And if you've ever heard it say it on the show, healing modalities is a form of mediumship.
It's a form of channeling.
It's not coming from you. You're channeling healing energy from spirit. That's what mediumship is. Mm-hmm. You are channeling information from spirit, which is also a form of healing because you're helping to heal grief.
Mm-hmm. Yes. To be clear, though.
Yes.
Sorry.
Now, do you have to be a medium? You don't have to.
No, yeah, you don't. You definitely do not have to be a medium. Sorry, there was a bit of a delay there, but it's difficult to put myself into. And I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I'm gonna be straight up 100% honest with you. It's difficult for me to put myself into the new empath shoes because I feel like in my journey, I'm far past being new to the empath world. So it's difficult for me to be able to think about when I was starting out as an empath and remember the signs and kind of like symptoms, I guess, that I was having along with those. So even though now I only feel tingles in the top of my head when I'm watching ASMR videos, which are amazing, by the way, but and totally off topic. But I also get tingles like when I hear strings and music, like violins, cellos. When I'm listening to string music, I get chills, especially if there's some great gigantic crescendo in the music. Oh, it gives me chills. But when I was first starting out as an empath, I don't remember if I did get chills. So my journey might not be the same as the journey that you're on now, because it all is a journey.
Absolutely.
I know that there are some people that hate that term. What is a journey? Everybody has a journey. And I get it. I get it. But it is different for everyone. So if you're feeling like any of this resonates with you at all, and you're feeling like, you know what, this could be true, and you've ruled out every medical possibility for the things that you're experiencing, explore it. Explore it and see what happens. Try to set those boundaries and see if anything changes. I highly encourage you to keep track of what happens and when, and if anything changed after you set a boundary, because then you start building trust with the spirit world. This is how relationships begin building as a psychic medium. You have to build trust with the spirit world. So if you're being bombarded with information just about emotions, when there's so much more out there other than just emotions, you've got to learn how to control and be in control of all that coming into you. Set those boundaries before you can start building that trust relationship with spirit so that you can start getting legitimate evidence. You can be a psychic. You can be a medium. You can be a pet communicator. You can be a physical medium. You can be anything you want to be if you have your emotions under control. Because emotions usually, not always, but usually equal ego. And I think that I'm right because I feel this way.
I feel like we should have a message going across the screen because I feel like this is like one of those really good infomercials that wake you up in the middle of the night. You're like, damn it, I gotta order that. I feel like this is like one of those. And I don't know, you guys out there, let us know if you think that we should have a part two next week.
Maybe we should. And then we need to have a reading episode soon too.
I think that I was going to suggest that. So maybe we should have part two next week if everyone agrees. And then maybe the week after that, because I do want to say really quick, I just want to, you feel these tingles when you hear good music. You feel the tingles when you hear someone singing the hell out of a song. I was stopped watching some reel on Instagram when this girl was killing it. Okay. And I was like, "Woo, goosebumps. Go ahead, girl." but think about this real quick. Think about it. What are ways to higher and raise your vibration? Listening to music.
Yeah.
You know, so when you raise your vibration, what are you naturally doing? You're becoming closer to the spirit world. Okay. So that makes sense, right? You know, you're raising your vibration when you're hearing these things that bring so much joy. And if you've ever heard, you know, people when they go to church and they all of a sudden, like the word or something just hits them and they get like, you know, tears running or something, the Holy Ghost, they got the Holy Ghost, right? So what is that telling you? That it's bringing you closer to spirit. So as an impact, these little things, something that may seem so minor as listening to a song or hearing someone sing or hearing someone say something that really resonates with you, is bringing you to this higher vibration, which is bringing you closer to spirit. So you're having that spirit interaction. So just wanted to...
I love that. Yeah. Next time, maybe part two, we'll play some Journey. And oh, Tammy Love says it. That U2 is her emotional band, and she even met Bono. That's cool. That's awesome.
Wow, that is.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so very much. Yeah, yay. And we appreciate you guys being here with us. Tammy thanked us and said that we made her week, and we really appreciate you taking the time out of your week to come and hang out with us. Every single one of you guys, seriously, we appreciate it. So maybe we will have a part two next week.
Can we just do in the one day when the lady met this fella? Brady Bunch.
We can do the ET thing. Touch my finger. Phone home. Thank you all so much for joining us.
There's Alice when you need her. Anyway, thank you. Have a good day.
Yes.